The section of scripture that was read in our scripture reading today, the book from the book of Haggai, the people of Israel had a problem, didn't they? They were living in their paneled houses and they were going about their everyday business while the things of God were put on the back burner, so to speak. They left those things alone. And they worried about their own self-interest and left God's interest hanging all by itself, leaving it to falter. Well, this morning we're going to talk about this subject of priorities. And I'm going to ask this question that you see: how do I know what my priorities are? Now, I'm asking that personally. How do I know what my priorities are? I want you to ask it in the same tense. I want you to read that to yourself. How do you know, my friend, how do you know where your priorities lie, what your priorities really are? In the course of the lesson this morning, we're going to ask some questions, and I want each of us to give an honest answer to these questions as they're asked. How do I know what my priorities are? The song that we just sang, "All of self, none of thee, less of self, some of thee," or "less of self, then more of thee, and then none of self, and all of thee." All of thee. Is that our attitude? If we were to sing those four verses again, and we were to apply them to ourselves, would that last verse really apply to us? None of self, and all of thee. How do I know what my priorities are? You know, there are many passages of Scripture that deal with priorities. Oh, I've just now figured out why my clicker is not working. It ain't plugged in. That makes a big difference. There are many ways and many passages of Scripture that deal with this particular subject and many questions that we could ask about it. Matthew chapter 6, one of the most familiar to us, verses 19 through 21. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Friend, what is most important to you in your life, what is most valuable to you, that's where you're going to place your interest. That's where you're going to place your enthusiasm. That's where your heart will be. What is most important to you? How do you know what your priorities really are? In Matthew chapter 6 again, verse 31, skipping over that section of Scripture where Jesus talks about do not worry. Of course, there's a reason for not worrying, and that is we have placed our faith and our trust in God. In verse 31, he goes on, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek." Where do the Gentiles place their priority? In material things. "But seek first," he says in verse 33. "Seek first." God knows we need all these things. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." There are enough problems tomorrow waiting for you than for you to take today and worry about them. Okay, let each day come and then deal with it as it comes. But you need to place your faith, your trust in God, and you need to seek Him first. Where are your priorities? I've used the illustration before. You remember it. The professor had a jar, had some rocks, some pretty good-sized rocks, and some little smaller rocks, and some sand. And he asked the students to put all these things in the jar. And one student comes up, there's also a thing of water there. So he takes the sand and puts the sand in and tries to put the little rocks in, tries to put the big rocks in, and it wouldn't fit. And another one puts some middle rocks, some of those smaller rocks in, and then the sand in, and then the big rocks wouldn't fit. And finally one comes up and they put the big rocks in first. Then the little rocks shake you a little bit, put the sand in, shake a little bit, and then pour the water in, and it all fits. And the only way to get them all to fit was to put the big rocks in first. So when it comes to matters of priority, we need to take care of the big things first. Put the big things first. Put God first. Put spiritual things first. Those are your big rocks in life, I hope. Well, that's what this lesson is all about. How do you know if that's really the case? You know, when it comes to everyday life, we have work, we have family, we have friends, we have leisure. And there's nothing wrong with leisure in and of itself. All recreation, what does that word mean, by the way? Recreation. Recreate. We need to take time. We need to take breaks. And then, of course, you have the church. Where do all these fit in your scale and list of priorities? What is first on that list right there that would come first to you? Would it be your work? Is that what you put first? How do you know? How do you know if work is more important to you than church? How do you know whether your friends are more important to you and pleasing them than it is pleasing God? How do you know if leisure comes before church? How do you know? Well, there are some ways that we can tell. And before we move away from this chart, I want to say to you that all these things are okay. They're part of our lives and they need to be in the proper order, however. And of course, when all of these things are focused toward God, when our work is focused toward God and pleasing God, when our family is focused toward God and pleasing God, when our friends are focused towards God and pleasing God, and everything that we do, our leisure even, is focused toward pleasing God, and of course the church, we're focused toward pleasing God, then our priorities are where they ought to be. We're wanting to please God, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Everything we do needs to be aimed at God. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, "Now behold, one came to Him and said to Him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So He said to him, 'Why do you call Me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbors, what neighbors? And you shall love your neighbors as yourself.'" I was thinking about another commandment, "Thou shalt not love or covet thy neighbor's wife." I don't know where that came from. "But thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I lack yet?" Where was this young man's priorities? What had he said his priorities were? When he came to Jesus, what was his question? How may I obtain eternal life? What was his objection? Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Did Jesus know where his priorities truly lied? Yes, he did. And so Jesus gave him a test. "Go and sell what you have and give to the poor. Then you'll know where your priorities really lie." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He left. He turned around. And if you would have asked him, "What are your priorities in life?" he would have probably said spiritual things. "Look, I keep all of God's commandments. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to do good things." But what did his actions actually indicate when put to the test? Where did his priorities truly lie? How do I know what my priorities are? May I suggest to you that our priorities can easily become disordered. We can get them all out of whack. Not only that, when we are asked where our priorities lie, what do you think would be your response? Right now, what is your response? I ask you, where do your priorities lie? What is your response to that? Do you truly seek God first in your life? You probably answer yes. But are you really speaking the truth? Is knowledge and good intentions enough? I don't think there's a person in the audience this morning that does not know where their priorities ought to lie. I think we all know that. And we realize that maybe I'm not 100% sold on serving God. God is not my ultimate priority. I recognize there are some other things competing with Him, and I want to serve God. I want to put Him first, and I'm going to someday, just not today. Doesn't get it, does it? Where do your priorities really lie? Well, let's ask some hard questions about that. What do you think about? I mean, our minds should be set up on spiritual things. We all know that. We all understand that reality. But here's the question. What do we think about? In Psalms chapter 1, verse 2, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night." Does that describe you? You delight in the law of the Lord. That's what you desire. And not only that, of course, you meditate upon it day and night. His law is hidden in your heart. You have it always there with you because you search it out, you study it. You're always thinking about the law of God. Does that describe you? What do you think about? In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul tells us there that we are to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Seek those things. Set your mind upon those things. Is that really our life? Verse 1 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above." Is that where your mind is set? In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, "Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Things that are good, things that are from God, things that are spiritual in nature. Are those the kinds of things that you think about? Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. What about the carnally minded individual contrasted with the spiritually minded individual? Where is your mind? What do you think about? Verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And it would be true of the Spirit and of the flesh. Those who set their mind on these things. Do you set your mind on the things of the flesh, or do you set your mind on the things of the Spirit? He goes on, "To be carnally minded is death." So those who have set their minds on the things of the flesh, the result is death. "But be spiritually minded." But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." Why? Because that person doesn't have his mind set on the law of God. He's not like that fellow in Psalm 1 and verse 2. "His delight is in the law of the Lord." That's not this carnally minded fellow. He cannot please God. Why? Because he doesn't have his mind set on God. "So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." Do you take the Word of God? Do you feed upon it? Do you constantly desire it? Do you have the attitude that you want to study and search things of God and please Him? Our minds should be set upon spiritual things. What do we think about when our minds are in neutral? When you try to clean your mind, you just lay down, you just try to rest. What does your mind gravitate toward? I want you to think about that. Isn't it true that our thoughts, like magnets, are drawn to what is most important to us? Where do our thoughts tend to gravitate when we are just kind of trying to rest and meditate and think? What do we think about? What do we think about most of the time? Where do our thoughts tend to gravitate? I think if we answer that question and say, God, I think about God all the time. I think about pleasing Him. I think about studying His Word. I think about what He said in His Word. I think about things that are spiritual. Even when I'm on vacation, even when I'm in neutral, I'm thinking about God. Now wouldn't you say, that's a person who has truly got his priorities in order? Wouldn't you think that? Secondly, what do we talk about most? What do we talk about most? The conversations that we engage in most naturally come from the things that are upon our minds. You know, in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, as well as chapter 12 and verse 37. I mean, where do our words come from? Jesus says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, etc. Verse 18 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. Yes, all these other things do too, but even the words that we speak, they come out of our heart. In chapter 12 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Upon what do we think most of the time? Well, that's going to determine what we talk about most of the time. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, Peter and John, as they are before the council, said, we cannot but speak of those things which we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak of those things which we've seen and heard. Why? Because that's their focus. That was their priority. They were truly on fire for the Lord, weren't they? In chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. You know, what we talk about will be based upon what we think about. In verse 16, now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. The Apostle Paul goes into Athens, he sees all of these idols. His heart was provoked. And out of that, he began to deal with it. To what do your conversations more naturally and enthusiastically gravitate toward? Things of this world? Sports? Clothing? Entertainment? Music? Form of entertainment? What do your conversations more naturally and enthusiastically gravitate toward? And think about that. What are we most enthusiastic about? You know, we may talk about plans of personal evangelism and having Bible classes and talking about how to go about personal evangelism. All that's fine and good. We need to know how to talk to people, communicate. We need to know how to do that. But let me tell you something. The number one thing needed in personal evangelism is putting God first. And when we truly put God first in our life, we're not going to have trouble talking to our friends and our neighbors about God. We're not going to have any trouble doing that. It's just going to automatically come out. We cannot but speak of those things which we have seen and heard. To what do your conversations more naturally and enthusiastically gravitate toward? Okay, if you answered that question honestly, let's move on. How do we spend our time? How do we spend our time? What will the spiritually minded person spend most of his time doing? In Psalms 1, verses 1 and 2, what is the psalmist there talking about doing? His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in focusing on what God has revealed to him, what God has said. In Psalms 119, verse 97, oh, how love I thy law, is my meditation all the day. Is that our focus? In Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and prayer and in breaking of bread. So they're continuing, spending their time together. In Acts 5 and verse 42, Acts 17 and verse 11, people are praying, people are worshiping, people are studying God's Word on a daily basis. Daily basis. Every day. What are they spending their time doing? They're spending their time learning about God. They're spending their time talking to God. They're spending their time praising and worshiping God. They're spending their time serving God. Now, we serve God in every area of our life. In our work, throughout the week, in our communication with our friends and our neighbors, we're serving God. Hopefully, we're letting our light shine before them. We are demonstrating the Christian way of life before them in a very positive way. We're spending our time serving God. Is that you? We are to pray without ceasing. We are to, as Romans 13, verses 11 through 14 speaks of, we're to put off those things of darkness and we are to put on the things of light. The time is at hand, he says. The time is far spent. The day is at hand. So we need to get up and wake up, as Paul says, and get to work serving God. How do we spend our time? Does the way we spend our time speak regarding our priorities? Does it say anything at all about our priorities? Where we spend our time? Well, sure it does. If we spend our time focused on material things, and yes, we have to work, we have to provide for material things. You know, we have to provide food and clothing. We understand that. Transportation. All of that is necessary. But all of that should be, again, focused toward God. The way that we spend our time, where we separate out the biggest block of our time, what do we spend our time doing? We'll go a long way in answering the question, how do I know what my priorities are? Next, how do we spend our money? Do we find ourselves giving to the Lord's work first and our wants later with what's left over? In Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, what were the people of God doing there? What was coming first in their life? How were they spending their money? They were fixing up their own houses, weren't they? They were taking care of their own physical desires first. Now, there's nothing wrong with spending money on fixing up your house. There's nothing wrong with spending money on clothing. There's nothing wrong with spending money on things if we put God first and give to Him what is due Him. There's nothing wrong with taking some time for leisure. But who comes first? Do we give to the Lord's work first? And if there are any cuts that need to be made, we make it in our wants instead of in what God deserves. First Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, we're to give to the Lord as we've been prospered. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, notice, I just want to ask this question. Does this describe your attitude towards the Lord and towards His work and towards His people? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, what does the Apostle Paul say? Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. They gave to the churches that were in need of financial aid. They gave. These churches in Macedonia gave out of their poverty. They were poor. They gave beyond their ability. They sacrificed for others. Why did they do that? Because they had first given themselves to the Lord. They were thus willing to sacrifice for others. Now, how do we spend our money? Are we sacrificial in our giving? Are we sacrificial in helping others? Are we sacrificial? How do I know where my priorities lie? Well, how I spend my money gives us an indication. If I spend my money primarily on myself, then what might that indicate? If I am first and foremost worried about my wants, and I'll give the Lord whatever's left over, but I'm going to be satisfied first. What does that indicate? Who comes first? How do we spend our money? Economic times are getting tougher. We're aware of that. But when things become tight, who gets left out? Is it the Lord? Do we find ourselves giving to the Lord's work first and our wants with what's left? How much of our money do we spend on things that will help us grow spiritually? Commentaries. Magazines. Truth Magazine. Gospel Truths. Faith and Facts. Do you subscribe to any of those magazines? I'm not advocating one over any of the others. I do have my preference. But do you buy things like that? Do you buy books that are spiritually focused? How much of our money do we spend on things that will help us grow spiritually? Now, say, well, I just don't have the money to spend on some magazine, or I don't have the money to spend on commentaries. You know, when we're going through a Bible class and we're studying a particular book, I don't have money to spend on a commentary. But you don't have trouble going out once or twice a week eating for $30 a plate. Or other forms of recreation and entertainment, the money that we may spend on movies and things of that nature. We don't have any trouble doing that, but we won't spend a little money to pick up a spiritually focused periodical. How do we spend our money? What gives when we face a conflict of priorities? Scheduling conflicts always come up. And there is one fact in life that no one's figured out how to overcome yet. You can't be in two places at one time. I don't care who you are. It's not going to happen. You've got to make a choice. Am I going to be here or am I going to be there? We've got conflict sometimes in our scheduling. When it comes to attending services, I've got a conflict with my job. Do I try my best to work around that? When it comes to Bible study, I've got a conflict with my family coming into town. When it comes to prayer, I have a conflict with some other things that have come up, and I just put these things on the back burner to do something else. Now, I understand there are some unavoidable conflicts that arise.
and we have to make choices, and we have to do things that we may not even want to do. We may not want to be at work on Sunday morning when we've been called into work. We're scheduled to work, and we've done everything we could to get out of it, but we have to be there, or we're going to lose our job. We stand a chance of losing our job. And so, you know, I've got to make a tough choice here. There are scheduling conflicts that, you know, I don't want to be there, but I don't have a choice. Those are not the kind of things I'm really talking about. Things that I'm talking about are more along the line of choice. When I can be at work to make some overtime, and so I choose to work on Sunday morning because I need the cash to pay for my four-wheeler or my boat or my golf clubs or my shoes, things of that nature. I need to make a little extra money, so I'm going to work a little extra money on Sunday morning. Where are your priorities? On Wednesday nights, it's Little League Baseball night. You've got a game scheduled. There's a scheduling conflict. What am I going to choose? Baseball or Bible study? I got a choice to make. And no, that's not the same thing as work. It's not quite the same thing, is it? I've been through that. We always worked around the scheduling on Wednesday nights. My son never missed a Wednesday night service. Neither of them did. For a baseball game. But they never missed a baseball game completely either. They got to play at least 3 innings of every ball game on their schedule. Even when they were scheduled for Wednesday nights. But we made services. We work around those things and put the Lord first. When social activities conflict with spiritual activities, which one do we choose? Which one do we choose? What gives when we face a conflict in priorities? I've got money on my hands. I've got some extra money. How do I spend it? I've got a conflict of priorities. I've got this thing that I want over here, and I've got this thing that I need spiritually over here. What do I do? What gives? When we face a conflict of priorities. Now, how do I know what my priorities really are? Well, may I suggest to you that it is in these moments that we truly find out where our priorities are. When we are faced with these conflicts of interest, we learn about what really does come first in our life. Is the Lord truly number one? Do you truly seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Can you honestly say that you do? Now, finally, I want to ask this question. What would your friends, those around you, maybe they're not even your friends, they're your co-workers, that don't like you very much, what would they say your priorities are? I wonder what the council before whom Peter and John stood in Acts chapter 4, I wonder what they thought about Peter and John's priorities. What do others say about our priorities? You know, we don't live in a vacuum. We affect people all around us. People that like us, people that don't like us. We affect people. We affect our children most of all. We affect our neighbors. We affect our friends. We affect everyone we come in contact with, at least in some small way. In Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Now, we have a responsibility in this world, do we not? What would our neighbors, what would our friends, what would our co-workers say our priorities were? Philippians 2, verses 15 and 16, "We're to shine as lights in the world in a corrupt, crooked and corrupt world." Are we really letting others know that our priorities are placed where they ought to be. That's in God. Do other people see that and recognize it? You know, others may not know us as well as we know ourselves, but they're usually more objective about what they do know. What would your children say about your priorities, Harris? What would your children say? Would your children admit and understand that your priorities are number one, God, and everything else flows out of that? Do your children know that? What would others say our priorities are? What would your boss say? You're scheduled to work Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, just about every week seemingly. You go to him and you try to get out of it. You talk to him and you bargain, you plead with him, you do everything you can. So I'm going to have to even look for another job because I can't work like this. I've got to attend services some. But if you didn't say anything to your boss, what would your boss think your priorities were? Our friends know, don't they? Now, here's the thing. We are the ones who determine what is valuable to us. We're the ones that establish our priorities. We do that by making choices. Now, I need to determine what my priorities are going to be. Then I need to act upon that. I need to follow through with that. And I need to get things in order. Instead of trying to crunch all those little rocks into that jar and in the sand and then put the big rocks in, I just empty it all out. Put the big rocks in first. Just make the right choices, do the right things, and set your mind where it ought to be set. Okay? That's something we can do. We can do that. What do you think about? What do your thoughts naturally gravitate toward? What do you talk about most? Well, you're going to talk about mostly what's on your mind. How do we spend our time? Depends on where our priorities are. How do we spend our money? What gives when we face a conflict of priorities? What would others say our priorities are? I thought those were some pretty good questions. And I tell you, if you can honestly answer all those questions by saying, hey, I think about God, I talk about God, I spend my time, you know, serving God, I spend my money on helping God's cause, I always put God first when conflicts arise. Or at least I try to. And then what others say about me, they know where my priorities lie. Great. I need to ask myself these questions and be honest and then make the changes if necessary in my life, and so do you. I want us to look afresh at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Put God first. What I am, in fact, doing with my life will tell me where my priorities lie. I cannot go out all for one thing and claim my priorities are over here somewhere else, because that just doesn't wash. And where my priorities are, there will my energy and my enthusiasm be also. Again, personal evangelism is a great example. If I am truly putting God first in my life, when it comes to personal evangelism, look, you're not going to have to tell somebody, instruct somebody, lead somebody by the hand to carry on personal evangelism if they are truly putting God first. Because the reality is, that's what they're doing. That's who they are. They are their own evangelists in the way that they're living their life. They truly put God first, and everybody's recognizing it. Everybody's hearing it from them. They're talking about God all the time. So, that's got to be number one when it comes to serving the Lord, putting Him first. Maybe you're here this morning. You've never put the Lord first. You've never repented of your sins, turned away from the world, and dedicated your life to God in repentance. You have never confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And you have never by faith been buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. Why not? Why not do as the Apostle Peter instructed those on the day of Pentecost? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Put God first and start serving Him today. And we are to be raised up out of the water of baptism to walk in newness of life. That is putting God first, serving Him. Now, if you've been raised from the watery grave of baptism and you're serving the Lord, but not wholeheartedly, make the proper corrections in your life. Don't leave this morning without committing to do that and getting right with God. Won't you come?